We've got the team together with the opinion and selections. Let's get it started. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
It's a beautiful day in Melbourne town. Can't wait to see people head back to the races. No restrictions today for Zipping Classic Day at Caulfield. And it's a terrific card as well. Let's welcome in the team. Dean Lester, hello to you.
Hello there, Gareth.
When you think of Glenn Boss, what do you think of?
Oh, well, I think most of us think of Maccabi Diva, but yep. I think what I do think of is the spectacular Group 1 wins. I mean, some, you know, Group 1s are just line and length to get the job done and from point A to point B as efficiently as possible. Some of his wins have been remarkable. God's Own, Private Steer, Schwarzier down the inside fence and the Lightning Stakes by himself. He wasn't afraid to back himself in, Glenn Boss, and that's why he's been a champion rider and probably goes out a champion today.
Listening to him before all the big races, Danny, I had this presence about him, but the self-belief, like he enjoyed the big stage, didn't he? He loved it. He lapped it up.
Yes, absolutely, and only had limited experience firsthand with, say, horses I was involved with, and one was that springs to mind was Puissance de Lune. I remember when he was in the Bendigo Cup, he drew 11 of 11, and he'd been getting back in his races, and he just said, oh, we'll go forward and we'll win by seven lengths. And I think he was wrong. He won by nine. So, he'd just back himself in and get the job done.
Good morning to you, David Gately. If he was a footballer, G Boss, he'd be nearly the first pick for your grand final side.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a fair analogy. Obviously, you don't fluke 90 Group 1 wins, do you? And some of those rides that Dino just referenced brought back some fabulous memories, even if you didn't back them. It's a great piece of our great game, isn't it? The brilliant rider.
It's a very good morning to you, Warren Huntley, and he rides Spanish Mission in his final race ride, and this horse is first up for Peter Moody. To the 2,400 metres he goes, do you think that will be a problem for him? Hello to you.
Well, listening to Catherine Coleman this morning, and Good morning to you, Gareth, that he seems to have settled in well, and he's got a little bit of sharpness, so look, on quality, he's got to be the one to beat. And I think one of Bossy's great trademarks through his career has been his honesty, and that came out in his announcement of his retirement, that he just didn't think he had possibly the hunger to compete at the level that he had been, and being such a competitive industry, he knows where you have to be. Whatever Glenn Boss does, he'll be a success at. And I just loved some of his quotes. He was so good in big races. And I think one of Bossy's quotes once was just, sometimes I even surprise myself. And I just thought that just epitomises Bossy, because when he was good on the big stage, he was unbelievable.
He's been one of my favourite interviews recently, Warren, and he's not only been a superstar, but he's been resilient as well. 2002, he was told that he could never ride again. He's faced his mental demons and fought through all of that. And as Ronnie Duffersey pointed out yesterday, he's been a success wherever he's went, Hong Kong, Singapore, and different parts of this country.
Yeah, and the racing landscape's changed. And to be successful here in Victoria, you probably have to commit to that almost seven-day grind now. And Bossy tried that a few years ago and then spent time in Queensland, time in Sydney. So he hasn't been afraid to go somewhere and relocate, reignite. And whenever he's done that, he's been successful. And yeah, to do it for as long as he's done it, and particularly at the elite level. And as you said, pick him in your grand final side every time. Melbourne Cups, Golden Slippers, Cox Plates. He's just a great big race rider, but a great rider, full stop.
And Nicholas Quinn, hello to you. What about the market movers today as we head back to a metropolitan track at Caulfield for the first time for a little while?
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, all. And punters anticipate Bossy will go out with a bang. His mount, Spanish Mission, a dominant favourite at $1.55 in today's feature, the Herald Sun Zipping Classic, was as much as $1.70 on Monday and has been all the rage to hopefully get the job done as Bossy bids us farewell.
Let's kick off this preview with the Merson Cooper Stakes over the 1,000 metres for the two-year-olds. Yeltara, the tens are scratching here, Quinny.
And we've got a new favourite. Ebhar's been well back throughout the course of the week. Was $4.80 initially. Bets of 1,000 and 800 ridden within 4 minutes of the market opening. Indicated there was a good push for this Snowden first starter and has been $4.80 into $2.80. The new favourite from Brereton, who's a $3 chance. Moco at $4.40. Silvanito $9.50. Then at double figure odds, we've got Camacho at $18, Kiko $19, but it's really competitive at the top of the market because Ebar has replaced Brereton as favourite, but good money still for Brereton as well. 75% of the investment has been sprinkled over the top two in the market with Ebar the firmer.
Interesting debutantes going around here. Dino in the first, but geez, I love Brereton. He is living up to his namesake. He loves a bit of a battle.
Yeah, he's a good fighter, Gareth. He certainly has a go, and he showed that on Melbourne Cup Day. I do think there's a couple of first starters here, though, that interest me greatly, and they're two fillies in Moko and Ebhar. I think Moko just looks really strong. I like the way in the jump outs, the deeper she's got into them, the better she's gone. I think, as Sam Friedman outlined with you earlier, Gareth, from the wide draw, they'll probably just go back, give her a chance to balance up and hit the line. And if that's the case, this is often, admittedly, it has been at Sandown in the past, but it's often a good run-on race for those developing two-year-olds. And I'm going to go with Moko to beat Ebhar, who tried well in Sydney, tried well at Flemington, looks a natural enough two-year-old. Brereton, with the race experience, will certainly run very well. And Silver Nido is another one that's trialled up okay, trialled with Ebhar in the jump out recently at Flemington and looked to go quite well. Looks to have made improvement from first to second jump out. But I put them in 9, 6, 1 and 5.
Was this the race that Adamo defeated Forbes in last year, Dino?
Yes, and Hanseatic the year before won it. So, it's really developed in the last few years. I think the back end of the season, even pushing it back another 2 weeks, might see some really nice horses here today.
So just repeat your numbers again, Dino, if that's okay.
9, 6, 1 and 5, Gareth.
Thank you. Gator, what are you doing with these two-year-olds?
Yeah, look, I lent to Ember. Obviously, we the Sydney trial was terrific and then led all the way to win the jump out, beating Silvanito. They both went really nicely, though. Brereton's got the race experience and he's got a bit of class to go with that courage, too. And I also liked the jump out latest of Moko, went on and won by the Cyclone. It looked about 6 lengths to my eye. 6-1-5-9.
Warren, what are you doing with these two-year-olds as well?
Well, I will have backed my first winner, Gareth, if my car turns up in the Caulfield car park, not the Sandown car park. So I'm hoping that I don't by default go to Sandown. If I do, I'll be keen to see what Ebhar does in the first, along with a couple of other debutants. But yeah,
have you ever done that, Warren?
Gone to the wrong course?
Yes.
You could put Kilmore and Seymour into that category once. I think I was with a good mate who's actually on his way down to Warrnambool now in a bus heading down for the Jericho. A big group of friends heading down. Johnny Harley's driving. Hope he doesn't keep going to Adelaide. Hope he does remember to pull off at Warrnambool. But yeah, we did want to go to Seymour one day. We realised we were at Kilmore. Fortunately, it wasn't that much of a redirect, but I think we got there in the end. Ebhar, for me, loved the trial in Sydney and just loved the way she trucked up and travelled very comfortably in a jump out here. A little bit wider on the track, which I think's a positive on those inner tracks at Flemington. There's so much to learn, but, gee, she looks very professional to me, number 6, Ebhar, and looks to have a bit of brilliance about her. 6 ahead of 1, Brereton, who is very solid. He'll make his own luck. He's drawn to get a good spot, and he's got the runs on the board. And that race experience can be invaluable. 9, Moko, as the boys have said, has jumped out nicely to make her debut. And 5, Silver Nido, was tucked in behind Ebhar in a jump out at Flemington recently. Looked to go nicely. But I do think Ebhar might have a little bit of X factor about her. 6-1-9-5.
9, 6, 1 and 5 for Dino, 6, 1, 5 and 9 for Gator, and 6, 1, 9 and 5 for Warren Huntley. Race number 2 is the Ned Sandown Cup over the 2 miles at listed level, and Nicholas Quinn, scratchings are clear.
And punters are very much focusing on the top two in the market now, Accountability and True Marvel. Accountability open 240, has been pushed out slightly to 260, but it's still attracting support at that quote. Clearly the best back runner at this stage, though, the second elect True Marvel. $4.60 was posted initially and has been backed into $2.70. The runner that's gone the other way, Sweet Thomas, $3.60 out to 5. Then it's double figures or better the rest. Lion's Share, 11 out to 18. Monmouth, 15 out to 21. Indorio's been spec'd, 26 into 23. Lady in the Sky, 26 into 23. Dragonstorm, 21 out to 26. And then $51 there for Abilady. But it's all about the market mover here. The second elect True Marvel. Accountability's been solid. And Sweet Thomas, the other one in the market, neglected at this early stage.
Watching True Marvel Gator at Moonee Valley, you think, well, geez, how's this horse ever going to get beaten again? But I guess this is a little tougher.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, he's clashed with accountability in the past, and accountability was too good for him back in September. Actually makes him 2 kilos better as well. Look, it's, I think 3,800 back to 3,200 isn't ideal. It's a different sort of endurance test, but, you know, it's still a staying trip. Accountability's taking a long time to wind up in his races, so I think that tells me he will stay the 3,200 quite well. Sweet Thomas is a proven 3,200-metre horse, and he carries weight. He won, of course, the Stayers' Cup in June with his 60 kilos, and the rest, some of them might get lapped here. 4,215.
It's not a vintage Sandown Cup, Warren.
There was only one horse that's not on the minimum weight, Gareth, so that tells you something, and it, by the change in program, etc., you know, keeping horses up for the 3,200 metres. If anyone's listened to the Sizzletown podcast, I think David Gately's got Matt Dower's sound effects guy, Matty Gow, with him. He's used two or three of the sound effects so far. He's normally only got three, so I'd be interested to see what Gator's third sound effect is later on in the day. Yeah. I'm with True Marvel here, who is on the minimum. Gee, I think he's obviously just a genuine stayer, and it was a 70-weight high weight at Moonee Valley last start, but he gets good weight relief from that, and Matty Smith's a great traveller of horses. He's obviously got a key role in this race. On with two True Marvel. Ahead of Accountability, who chased hard the 2,800-metre race at Flemington behind team captain. He's going well, and he'll get every chance from that draw. The horse off the minimum, Sweet Thomas, a Sydney Cup winner, so he's obviously got a touch of quality. He's earned that weight against this grade of opposition, and Monmouth would prefer a bit of sting out of the ground. I thought he ran well last start at Cranbourne. He should just keep whacking away out to this trip. I've got him in as next best, but I do think the winner will come from numbers 2-4-1, 2-4-1 and 5.
Are you betting here, Dino?
No, it won't be, Gareth, but I think Accountability's got a good winning chance. He's racing as though the 2 mile suit. I think he's well and truly found his price. So as True Marvel, there's not a lot between them, I don't think. But I'm going 4 from 2, same as Warren for me. Sweet Thomas for third. This is his specialty, 3,200 metre racing. He ran okay at Newcastle last start at the shorter trip. And Monmouth getting fitter. He'll get up on the speed. He'll just grind away and he might be next best. 4, 2, 1 and 5.
4, 2, 1 and 5 for Dino. Save for Warren. And I know you're with the 2, aren't you, Warren? 2, 4, 1, 5. Yep.
Change the exact around there, Gareth. Exactly. 2, 4, 1, 5.
And Gator's with the 4, of course, Accountability. So 4, 2, 1 and 5 for Gator. We'll take a quick break at 17 minutes past 8. This is the Melbourne Form Panel as we preview the Herald Sun Zipping at Classic Day. And when we return, we'll take a look at races 3, 4, 5 and 6.
Zay's Melbourne Racing, RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Gorgeous day in Melbourne. We're racing on a good 4. Expect a track upgrade in the second half of the meeting, according to Jason Kerr, when we had a chat with him there this morning. The rail is out 6 metres the entire circuit. Race number 3 is the Tobin Brothers Funerals Twilight Glow Stakes here over the 1,400 metres. Quinny, and the scratchings, you can scratch the 11 napped.
And punters hope and anticipate that the Mar Eustace stable win this race. The two firmers yesterday, both from the team. Decent Rain, 290 into 270, the market leader at that quote. And at longer odds, number 6, Lavish Girl, $11 into 7, now on the fourth line of betting at that price. Star of Chaos, a $5.50 chance, has been the third best backed runner in the race. Then we have Lady of Honour, who's gone the other way, 460 out to 550. Raduna, 10. Allegra up a $14 chance. Spinning's been a little bit soft, 11 out to 15. There's been a little bit of support at longer odds for the 10, Funky Me, a $34 chance. But Decent Rain, a popular firming favourite. And each way money for the stablemate, number 6, Lavish Girl.
Before I get your tips for this race, Warren, how do you expect this track to play?
Oh, I think it'll play fairly and it'll firm up as the day goes on. With the relatively warm day forecast and putting some moisture on at the start of the day, I think that'll just have a nice bit of giving it. Rail 6 metres at Caulfield should play well. It'll improve from a good 4 to a good 3. And with that gap between the Caulfield Cup meeting and this meeting, it should be tempo and talent dependent as much as anything else. I've got no concern about how the track's going to play. Those 1,400, 1,600 metre starts, particularly with big fields, can be a little bit problematic for wide draws. But I think the track will play beautifully. And I think this race is a really competitive race, but the benchmark for this race could be Espiona, and she could be a benchmark for a good time to come in some better races. And closest to SBO, and her last start was Star of Chaos, and she's been kept relatively fresh since then. She probably maps for a slightly better run here, and I think there's four or five key winning hopes in this race, but I do think Star of Chaos has got as good a chance as anything. Her two wins leading into that run behind Espiona was solid. Decent reins on the backup. She got that beautiful run last week, lobbing into the 1-1, peeling out. She's got a backup. She's got a slightly more awkward barrier draw here, and it is the 1,400-metre start where those starts are important. Five, Raduna gets the blinkers on here. She also comes through the Espiona form line, but she's had a run since at Cranbourne when she dropped back to 1,200 metres, and she just looked to paddle a bit on that heavy 10 there, but then she was strong through the line back to the 1,200 metres. Blinkers on here and out to 1,400 metres. I think she can improve on that performance last start, and she was solid doing some ducking and weaving in the Espiona race. And nine, Allegretta, you could mount a case to say that she's rising significantly in grade, but there was merit in that win last start, and I don't think that's the only winning hope. I think it's a really deep and even race, Gareth. 2-1-5-9.
Plenty of confidence with the stables here, Dino. Calvin McAvoy making Star of Chaos his best for the day, and Benny Hayes' Lady of Honour is Lindsay Park's best for the day.
Yeah, there's plenty of confidence, Gareth. I'm going to a different stable. I'm going to the leading stable, and they're probably second stringer price-wise in Lavish Girl. I thought going into that last run, she was 43 days between runs. She just peaked on her run. Yeah, Decent Rain was unlucky in the same race but got past her, but Decent Rain's had consistent racing and then went to Ballarat and won last week. And I just think Lavish Girl, yeah, maybe has been aimed up more at this and comes off a good draw to get a really cheap run. And I just think she's a little bit over the odds, still around the $7 mark. Her stablemate, Decent Rain, will require a good ride from the draw, and she's eighth run for the prep, but it was a terrific win last week. Just got to hold that form. Lady of Honour ran well. It was tough winning at Sandown last start, and I think can run well again. And Spinning, who didn't get a lot of room when she needed it at Sandown. It's a bit of a D-day for her, but I think might be next best. But I'm happy to back Lavish Girl each way here, Gareth. 6-1-3-4.
Which three-year-old filly comes out on top in your eyes here, Gator, in the twilight glow today?
Yeah, and I'm going to stick with Decent Rain. I think she should have won the Champagne at the Valley. I think she should have tested Fangirl. And then we saw what she did with Clear Air last time. One thing about the draw, she'll probably get Clear Air. She came from off the speed when she, in my humble, should have won that Champagne. So I'm sure they'll have a plan. I'll stick with the best filly. Certainly for 75 Raider, she's well-weighted, isn't she? Star of Chaos, caught Winburn from Espiona, as Ted referenced. But that winner looks special. This girl closed off well, beat all the others, including Star Waltz, who had beaten key rival in Vina prior to that. Lady of Honour has more upside than a few of these. And Raduna, you can tie in on the Decent Reform and has a relative weight advantage. So 1, 2, 3, 5.
Dino selections in the third, 6, 1, 3, and 4. Gators with the 1 from the 2, 3, and 5. And Warren Huntley with the 2 from the 1, 5, and 9. And the Premier Signs Doveton Stakes over the 1,000 metres at listed level. You can scratch Parsifal, the 2, the South Australian, and the 11, Sam's Image here, Quinny.
And we lose a total of 8 cents in the dollar through those scratchings with deductions. And there's been two popular picks at this early stage. Number 13, Yulong Command, looking to go back-to-back and has been back from $6 into $4.20. Now the joint favourite at that quote. And Currents had each-way support, $8 into $5, the third elect at that price. Intha's been a little bit soft at the top of the market, $3.20 out to $3.60 initially on Wednesday, and has subsequently eased from $3.60 out to $4.20. Now the joint favourite with Yulong Command at that quote. Starry Legend solid at $8. He's a bolter, $15 into $10, has had some each-way support. Barter's been soft, $7 out to $11. Then Twist of Fury, $13. Streetcar Stranger, $21. Shimino, $23. Excess Funds, $34. And Prezzardo's been specced at the big odds, as much as $81 into $41, still the outsider of the field at that quote. Interesting betting race. Enthar a little bit soft at the top of the market. Yulong Command, Curran, and also at the longer odds, He's a Bolter, have attracted support.
What do you do with a horse like Enthar, Dino? Do you just say, just go and be fast over 1,000 metres, or do you need to teach her to try and settle behind them so she can finish off?
Well, I think it's somewhere in between, Gareth. It's leading, but leading like relatively softly in the hands of the rider, because if they go too hard in front, then I think that's what they've been teaching. I don't think they wanted to get back by any means, but now the earmuffs come off in the race, so I'm thinking that she'll be on pace and hopefully pacing herself well enough that she can run well, and I think she's got a good chance. But I like the Yulong Command and Curran form line. I think Yulong Command is going well. He's beaten by Curran. He's got the weight turnaround there for a narrow defeat. Then he won. He's since been back to the jump outs. He looks to be going well. And I'm leaning his way from Curran, who'll be strong late, never runs badly, and he'll run well again. Anthahar, her run at Flemington was okay. And I just wonder if those earmuffs really did dull her that much that she didn't show her customary brilliance. But she ran okay there. And I'm putting in Streetcar Stranger, the Jolly Stable, whether it be Richard and Chantel or David. David had a winner last night, and Streetcar Stranger is a winner here at Caulfield. Fitter for one run in, drops in weight and could improve sharply. 13, 7, 9 and 6.
Who are the quickest horse here over the 1,000, Gator?
I think Anthar's the quickest horse. So from what we've seen to date, I think Quinny's probably the one that sums the race up best. What they're doing is they're trying to get Anthar beaten here, and there's a fair reason why she will be, but they don't know who it is. They're backing everything else, and she's drifting out. So, look, I'm going to stick with her. I think it's getting really close to seeing, I don't know if D-Day's the right word, but I want to see her race well and be fast. Simple as that. Varda back to 1,000 at Flemington, battle well, right on the heels of Malkovich, since good again in fast time. I think a colder ride here might be the key. Curran is a ripper. He also chased Malkovich. Just back to 1,000 is a little query for me, so just had to shuffle him down. And he's a bolter, 9375.
Warren, what are you thinking? Are you taking on Anthar?
I am, Gareth. I just want to see her do it and be able to get a race right rather than just show speed at some stage and perhaps get tired late. And they're trying to find that right combination of headgear and racing style, as Dino outlined, but, potentially, she was just a very fast, precocious young horse, and I want to see her come back. So I'm working around her today. Could well be to my detriment, but you have to have an opinion. I don't think many would have the opinion that Curran's not going to run well. He'll be strong late at the end of what looks like a solidly run 1,000 metres. Anthar with the earmuffs off, Starry Legend with the blinkers going on. There should be some good speed here. Should allow horses to at least balance up a little bit off speed and get their opportunity. And Curran fits that bill for me. 7. At a 5, he's a bolter who'd been having a terrific preparation. Pulled up with a degree of EIPH last start. Gets an opportunity to bounce back here from a good draw. Linda Meach has shown that in a modestly run race, was capable of sitting on the speed, but probably fits more the Curran mould here of getting a pair or so off the speed there and being strong late. Yulong Command will be somewhere near the speed. Form ties in well with Curran's got that weight turnaround on him and has jumped out well. And for Shimino, not necessarily keen on the Equicast going on, but I thought a recent jump out in Adelaide was good. He's effective fresh and thought will be strong late in a race that should be set up for horses to at least get a chance running on. 7, 5, 13, 4.
Dino likes the 13 from the 7, 9 and 6 in the fourth race. 9, 3, 7 and 5 for David Gately, and Warren's with the 7 from the 5. 13 and 4. Race number 5 is over the 1,600 metres. It's a Group 3 for the mares, and at Groovy Kind of Love, the 10 is a scratching here, Quinny.
That's exactly right, Gareth. And we take out 3 cents in the dollar there with that scratching. And there's been a good move here for now the new favourite in Steenham. Was a $6 chance initially on the third line of betting at that quote, but has been $6 into $3.10 and holds about 55% of the early investment. Tricky Gal on the second line of betting at $4.60. Quantum Mechanic, $5. Each way money for Good and Proper, $15 into $11. Zing's gone the other way, $7 out to $12. Agreeable, $12. Brazen Song, $14. And then Paul's Regret, best the rest there at $19. But one of the better backed runners throughout the course of the day, number 9, Steenham.
Does it look a nice race here, Gator, for Steenham?
Yeah, it does. I mean, she ran well in the Group 1. It was a pretty hot version of that race this year. She just wasn't good enough. I mean, she was back there with those who fought out the finish. She ran on really well. Sectionals were good. They were just horses better. And so there's a bit less depth here. Quantum Mechanic, I gave her a good hope in the Cantala on the same day. Now, she wasn't great. She wasn't bad either. back to her own sex here. If you run through a Turak run, she'd go close. Good and proper, no surprise. There's been money for her at the 15s in, and she's going really well. She ran on well at Sale against the pattern of the day. She was luckless prior to that and raced fastest home in the agreeable race. And Tricky Gal is the other hope, I think. 9178, though, for me.
And I guess Michael Kent Jr. is right on the mark here, as Skater just pointed out. If Quantum Mechanic, Warren, runs up to her Turak effort, should be mighty hard to beat here.
It was a good performance, wasn't it, behind I'm Thunderstruck, who then went on to win the Golden Eagle, Cantor Rupees come through that race. So that's just a terrific form reference. I could mount a case for nearly every runner here. I settled on at odds, good and proper. Not surprised there's been some money for her, as Gator outlined. Probably a bit against the pattern, but made some good ground in the Sale Cup. From a favourable draw, she might be able to settle into a more forward position. Slight leaning to 7 at odds ahead of 4. Tricky Gal. It's coming through some good form lines in New South Wales. Ice Bath, Minhaj. Don't think there were any excuses last start behind Electric Girl, but she ran well there, and that was a Group 2. Might have been a soft Group 2, but it was a Group 2. 9, Steinem will be off the speed and strong late. Not too sure what Steinem's best distance is, and I think she's a better big track horse, but she's got the talent. And 8, Agreeable. Kept a little bit fresh for this. I think that's the best for Agreeable, just having at least a few weeks between runs. But goes to run the 1,600 metres, but had no luck at all last start, so didn't have a taxing run. 7, 4, 9, 8.
Where's the speed in this race for the mares, Dino?
Gareth, the speed is Brazen Song, Tricky Gal, probably Paul's Regret, maybe Belle Plus here, and Perfect World holding a spot to a degree. Field of 10, it looks an even speed.
All right, then who wins?
Steinem. I think she'll win. I think she has been incredibly poorly served by barrier draws through her career. The Auraria, you go back, she drew 16 of 16. The only time she drew well was the Australasian Oaks, and she'd probably had enough or didn't run the 2000 when she drew well. This preparation, she's drawn 10 of 10, 7 of 7, 14 of 14, and she's always had to go back and produce sort of big runs. One of those was a second here at Caulfield to Colette. No, it was on wet ground, but Colette went on with the job and won the Empire Rose, cutting through the field whilst Steinem had to go round them and was only beaten 3 lengths. So I think from the draw, she'll have a few behind her today, and I think she can win. If she's to be beaten, I think Tricky Gal's the danger. I think her Sydney form stacks up pretty well for a race like this. And more importantly, she now gets to 1,600 metres, where she's got a terrific record. She's a good, consistent mare, and I think she will run very well. 8, Agreeable. Just ran into a dead end on Melbourne Cup Day when she was going to run on and probably run a place at Group 3 level. She'll be competitive, and Quantum Mechanic, was going to the Ballarat Cup last week, had the freshen up back to the mile here, and obviously a class runner for this grade, so she goes in. But no, I'm pretty confident that Steinem's found her right race for the spring. 9, 4, 8, and 1.
There you go, Dino's numbers there. 9, 4, 8, and 1 in race 5. 9, 1, 7, and 8 for Gator as well. So he's with Steinem, and Warren's with the 7 over the 4, 9, and 8. We'll take a quick break. It's 8:34. We'll come back and have a look at the quaddie legs for Sipping Classic Day, of course, which kicks off with the Neds.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne race. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Hopefully you're enjoying your Saturday morning. If you're just joining us, we're up to race number 6 for our Caulfield Sipping Classic preview with Dean Lester, David Gartley, Warren Huntley and Nicholas Quinn. Racing on a good 4 there at Caulfield today. The rail is out 6 metres and there's plenty of rain up north, so the Gold Coast meeting has been abandoned. And in New South Wales, they had 5 race meetings set down for today, but 4 have been abandoned. And Rosehill, they're racing on a heavy 10 at the moment. There's a little question mark still over that card. So we'll have that preview and a track update with Lizzie Gels and David Gately for Rosehill just after 9 o'clock. But let's have a look at the Ned Sandown Guineas, which is race 6 on the card. This afternoon at Caulfield, and you can scratch Brigantine the 1 here, Quinny. What's the market doing?
Well, Brigantine was favourite, so we lose 17 cents in deductions through the dollar, and basically a new market posted. But clearly the best backed runner is number 12, Festival Dancer, who's now a 270 market leader and was well backed after opening at 750 initially when the markets opened on Wednesday. Port Louis looking to break through at $3.90. Cardinal Gems had support, now $5.50. Then we've got Chartres, 11. Blushing Tycoon, 12. Blazero, 19. Blue Army, 19. But the story here is each way support for the 6 Cardinal Gem, but good support for the favourite Festival Dancer.
Could be a big day for Matty Smith, bringing down a strong team from his Sydney-based. Warren.
Could be. Strong hand in the Sandown Cup. And gee, Festival Dancer, she's deep into her preparation, but she's hit a terrific vein of form. Nearside Blinker comes off going around this way, and Craig Williams takes over from a good draw. So you'd think she'd put herself on the speed somewhere. Mr. Me led at a really slow tempo last start. He'll probably be a bit more aggressive. And his stablemate, Blushing Tycoon, might go forward from a wider draw. I thought Festival Dancer, Mr. Me were probably the most likely on-speed runners. And then depends what they do from the outside draw with Blushing Tycoon. I think Cardinal Gem went up good odds, and he's a real talent, and he hits this race at the right time. He was very good through the line without much luck behind Extreme Warrior in the Blue Sapphire. He was big odds on that occasion, but then he was very good behind Bend the Knee, 1,400 metres, so he's had a lovely build into this race, and I think Graham Beggs targeted this race for him, and he's had a faultless preparation for it. So I can understand the support for number 6 Cardinal Gem. Festival Dancer probably can't be improving, but you could argue that she doesn't need to. There's some good form lines around her, and she's building a picket fence to Port Louis. He's got to run the 1600 metres out, but he was good through the same form line as Cardinal Gem last start. And 8 Yaffet chased a very smart horse last start in Burning Power. That ties in the Espiona form line. She's gone on and won a couple since finishing behind Espiona as Burning Power, and she looks a real talented filly in the making. I thought Yaffet certainly hit the line well there and looks to be going well. I thought Cardinal Gem would be very hard to beat here. 6, 12, 2 and 8.
Festival Dancer, as Warren pointed out, Dino, she's definitely found her groove these days.
Took a while, Gareth, but she's certainly hitting the mark now. 10th run for the preparation here. Put in a carbon for me. I'm with Cardinal Gem. I just think been held back to the end of the spring, and he ran well in the Blue Sapphire. He ran well in the springtime stakes. He now goes to 1600. I think that will suit. He's got a great draw. I think he'll be very hard to beat from Festival Dancer, who, just keeps producing good runs. She's got another good run in her. The spring stakes form should stack up pretty well for a race like this. Port Louis, as Warren outlined, has got to just prove himself at the mile. His two runs at the mile have been at Group 1 level in the Champagne and the JJ Atkins, but he's been a little bit soft late in those races. Had a good run last start and ran quite well. And I think that Yaffet will appreciate a little bit bigger track than the Valley and got held up at a crucial stage, and nothing wrong with that form through the race at the Valley a couple of weeks ago. So I just think Cardinal Gem hits this race at the right time, and that's why I'm with him. 6, 12, 2 and 8.
And Gator, you with Cardinal Gem as well?
Yeah, I was with him at Flemington, and I thought he ran really well, as the guys have referenced. He just didn't quicken at the key point of the race. He wasn't far off the winner or the Quinella at one point. They left him, and then he was the strongest at the end of the race back on the inside, which I don't think was the A ground as well. So then getting to 1600, he can turn the tables on Port Louis. I'm a big Festival Dancer fan. There's no way she's reached her full potential yet. You see, even her win last time, okay, the leaders won pretty much every race in the second half of that card, but she was running around like a drunken sailor and still put a margin on them. The third horse had run well to Hilal, so it's a reasonable line to draw as well. She's going to take some catching. She's very, very gifted. Port Louis, yeah, there are two question marks. One is the application, and second one's the mile, although the Queensland miss at the trip was clearly a forgive run, given he was lame. And Chartres gets to the mile on top of the ground, but it was a very good win last time. So 6, 12, 2 and 4.
So the team confident with Cardinal Gem in the Sandown Guineas this afternoon. 6, 12, 2 and 8 for Dino, 6, 12, 2 and 4 for Gator, and 6, 12, 2 and 8 for Warren Huntley. Race number 7's the feature, the Group 2 Wait for Age. Herald Sun zipping classic over the 2,400 metres, Quiddy, and the scratchings are clear.
And through multi-bets across the country today, the most anchored runner is Spanish Mission. Dominates the betting here at $1.55 and hopefully can give the little green tick next to those multi-bets. Warning on the second line of betting at 5, Sound 12, Dr. Drill 14, Silent Sovereign 17, Wentwood 18 with Lunar Flare. But Spanish Mission was $1.70 on Monday, did get as low as $1.40 on Wednesday morning, but now $1.55 to get the job done with Bossy in the saddle.
We know he's class, and as Warren said at the top here, Dino, if you're a little concerned with Spanish Mission dropping back to 2,400 metres, those concerns were basically put to bed if you were listening to Catherine Coleman, the assistant trainer there for Peter Moody.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough too, Gareth. He's a class horse. He's a Melbourne Cup place getter in a race where four just drew right away from the rest, and he was in that group. And his European form's terrific. The Melbourne Cup runners, and he's the Melbourne Cup runner, has an extra 2 weeks to recover, and they've had a good record in the past, running well in the Zipping Classic off the Melbourne Cup. So I think probably only a really tactical or smart ride by Damien Oliver on warning, mixing up the tempo and the vagaries of Caulfield might stop Spanish Mission, but I don't think they will. I think he'll probably beat Warning, who beat most of these in the Queen Elizabeth, and he's going really well again. He's winning the St. Ledger was good. He's obviously a Derby winner as a three-year-old, and he's back now going well. Sound won the race last year. It was an even run last time behind Warning. And Silent Sovereign, mares have got a good record of running placings in this race off lesser form lines, and she does come through a lesser form line last week, but at least she's in fitting on the up and going to probably follow the right horses into the race from a good draw. But now I think that Spanish Mission will send Bossy out as a winner. 1, 2, 3, and 9.
Who wins the Zipping Classic in your eyes here, Gator?
Well, I mean, look, Spanish Moon's the one that has a clear class edge, doesn't he? I don't think many of these could cross the line with Incentivise and beat the fifth horse 6 lengths in the fifth fastest Melbourne Cup in history. But he does come back in trip, which is always a query, in a fast run 3,200-metre race. But Stable got a good idea what they're doing and liked the reports from the Stable. There's a bit of speed in his legs, so have to tip him. Silent Sovereign. It's going really well. She's been to 2,500 once. She ran second to Realm of Flowers. Reads well. I think that horse, had she held together, would have run well in that Melbourne Cup. Warning, he's back. I think the key to him, what I loved is he can come from the back. And when he was leading last time, I'm sitting there watching it live thinking, well, this will go one way or the other, obviously. Is he upside down? Then he was under pressure and I thought, okay, they've cooked it. But he just responded, didn't he? So not many horses can do it at both ends of the spectrum. So, I think they'll try a similar tactic here if they're going to get Spanish Moon beaten. And he's in the mix as well. Would have loved some rain. And Wentwood has the floating artist form, which is easy to like, through Spanish Moon and a Melbourne Cup, and then was beaten by Warning last time. The weight for age scale doesn't really suit as well. 1, 9, 2, and 4.
1, 9, 2, and 4 for Gator there. What price would you be taking about this favourite, Warren?
Gee, if we could, somewhere in about $1.80 would be an attractive price. I don't think we're going to get there. And I think as much as anything else, this race is about, the challenge for Peter Moody, but more about Bossy and the retirement, and his career's been littered with fairy tales and head shakes as he goes across the line on talented gallopers, and hopefully one more of them today aboard Spanish Mission. And look, he's got the classes, the boys have outlined. It looks pretty straightforward at the top end. He just has to be able to adapt to 2,400 metres, but he's not coming back to 2,000, and I think he'll win. 1 ahead of 2, Warning, who's copped some terrific rides to win last up, but Damien Oliver knows the horse well, having won the Derby on him, and he looks to be a horse that can be that variator in terms of the tempo that might be able to find a chink in the armour of Spanish Mission. Sound won this race last year. He looks to be going equally as well. And Wentwood, Silent Sovereign, Luna Flair, they've probably all got chances for fourth. I put Silent Sovereign on the backup, who might still be on the up this preparation as next best. 1, 2, 3, 9.
Dano likes 1, 2, 3, 9 in the Zipping Classic. Gator with the 1 from the 9, 2, and 4. And Warren with the 1 from the 2, 3, and 9. Spanish Mission dominating the market there in today's feature. We'll take a quick break. It's 8:47. We'll come back and have a look at the final two races, plus the team's best bets and their quaddy.
Here's a very special offer from Winning Edge.
858-858.
Seeing what happens there at Woolamai today, they have their picnic race meeting, and well done to the club because they had a tough month or so with some storm damage, but they've come together, a lot of volunteers there to make sure that the track and the facilities are up to standard to host a meeting this afternoon.
Yeah, some incredible wins during the week, Gareth. And there isn't an award for racing's best bloke, but if there was, I reckon Adam Olsanski would have to be in the conversation. He's been down there rebuilding the race day stalls. Thanks to Di Clover for notifying me of this and sending through some photos of the rebuilt stalls that Adam O was there to the early hours of last evening, making sure that the course was ready to head off for the picnic races today. And I'm sure people there will much appreciate it. It'll be a great atmosphere there, a beautiful day for it. And I know the picnic races is very close to Dino's heart, and Woolamai and tracks in the Gippsland area of part of where Dino cut his teeth. And yeah, they had some issues there during the week, and there might have been some doubt, but you know, the passionate volunteer band of people led by Adam Olsanski got together, and everything's good to go for Woolamai. And hopefully Michael Felgate and Matty Stewart in their time after 10 o'clock, we'll be able to delve deeper into the backstory of what happened to get Woolamai going today.
I'm sure they will. And Dino, you'd be nearly ready for your assault on the picnic circuit with your team.
Yeah, I'd love to, Gareth. I'd like to just be going. Yes, I'll be certainly starting to tune into the results at the picnics. They're starting to really crank up now that the crowds are back on course, and the fields are terrific today at Woolamai. And yeah, as Warren said, Adamo with his work firstly at Woolamai, now as part of Stony Creek, is a essential part of South Gippsland and Victorian country racing.
Lester McLaughlin Racing, how's it travelling?
We're having sort of setbacks there.
Okay. Oh, sorry,
my track rider's broken a finger things are going wrong.
That's no good, Dean. Hopefully it improves for you. Race number 8 today at Caulfield is the Keno Eclipse Stakes, Quinny. Ho-Ho Khan, that was pretty good there in the Wodonga Cup yesterday. And well done to the team at Wodonga. It was a miracle that race meeting went ahead there for their cup meeting. But so many people enjoyed a wonderful day out. So well done to the team there. And Darlamax is a scratching the 12, Quinny.
And running for two runners here are Playboy, a popular favourite, 290 into 280. Did get as low as 270. And an each way move for the 10 Royal Mile, as much as $15 into 6. Now on the third line of betting at that quote. The ultra consistent Starrell at $5.50 on the second line of betting, chasing that elusive second career victory. Bonvicini at 9. Regalo De Gitano, an $11 chance. Last year's winner, Sosie Bond, 13. Ducon, 14. The Fribulate, 16. Exelman's been specced as much as 41 into 21. Hangman at 26, the outsider of the field. Are Playboy popular at the top of the market? Each way money for the 10 Royal Mile.
Can you take $2.80 for our Playboy from an inside gate back to a good track, Gator?
Look, I think he's short enough, to be honest. I don't have a problem with the top of the ground horse. I think he's been unfairly pegged as just a wet tracker. He proved that at Flemington with a terrific win with 59. Betting a good one and a subsequent winner. I'm going to tip him, but I think you get a better prize. Starrell kept closing in the Matriarch at 2000. She did it with 58 as well. There's the Ballarat Cup form, Zaidani, Vanna Girl. Hangman went up a stupid price, no offence, Quinny, 33-1. The Skyman form easily ties in, and his Easter Cup win here was terrific. Royal Mile and the other South Australian, Rigo Di Gitano's in the game. 6, 7, 3, 10.
So many different form lines here, Warren.
Yeah, it's a real blend, isn't it, Gareth? Look, he'll need some luck from that inside draw, and one of his key dangers, Royal Mile, will probably be rolling along on speed. But thought his run in the Cranbourne Cup was outstanding, our Playboy, and hopefully he's come through that well. As Gator said, he's definitely comfortable on rain-affected ground, but we might have seen a different dimension to him winning and beating Silent Sovereign, who's a subsequent winner at Flemington two starts ago. So I'm with him, but he'll need a good ride from that inside draw. 6 ahead of 10, Royal Mile, who's a real talented galloper, and he's got a great will to win, a good racing style, putting himself on speed, and I can understand the support for him. 8, Ducons, had a freshen up since that good win when he dropped back in distance last start. Nice tick over jump out. I would expect a very similar performance today. And 7, Starrell, comes back from the Matriarch, which might have been her main aim this preparation, but I think she maps to get every opportunity. 6, 10, 8, 7.
Your speed map here, Dino, and your tips, please.
I think Royal Mile can go forward. I think the Adelaide horse is a good chance of rolling forward here. Regalo di Gaetano and Royal Mile from out wider. I think Exelman at 1,800 metres won't be far away, and Starrell will use the draw. Craig Williams will be proactive there. And I think they're all, you know, in the mix along with our Playboy there. I'll be putting all five of those I've mentioned in the quaddy, but I'm going with Royal Mile. I just think he's a real up-and-comer. He's only real miss was in the Derby, and he still ran very well in Adelaide. And then he came back first up sound, second up winner, more to come. I think a real chance to win a nice race here to beat number six, Our Playboy, who's going great guns. And he had a tough run in the Cranbourne Cup on the back up there. Now he's got to do it again 2 weeks later. If he can hold that form, he's a terrific winning chance. Exelman. Wouldn't be the Eclipse Stakes if the Lamming family didn't have a runner in it. I think Bevan won it twice, and Richard won it a couple of years ago. And I think that certainly Exelman's win Melbourne Cup Week was quite sound, even though it was the restricted grey race. He's a talented horse, and he goes well at Caulfield. And Starrell, who's got good form lines and racing well, just doesn't win very often, Starrell, but she's there with a chance. And Regalo di Gaetano certainly goes in the quaddie, and I think he's probably a little bit over the odds. 10-6, 11-7.
There's Dino's numbers, 10, 6, 11 and 7 in race 8. 6, 7, 3 and 10 for Gator, and 6, 10, 8 and 7 for Warren Huntley. Race number 9 is the Kevin Heffernan Stakes over the 1,400 metres. Weight for age, Group 3 race. Scratchings here, Quinia clear.
And I Am Superman, a popular favourite in the last, currently at $3.70, holds about 40% of the investment at this stage. Streets of Avalon are 5.50, second elect, Age of Chivalry 7, Ranier 8, Crosshaven 8, Cinewan $11 into 9, Surprise Baby's been specced at the longer odds, $19 into 13, including a bet of 1,000 each way at the 19. Corborn 14, Riddle Me That 26, Sir Coney best the rest there at $34. But I Am Superman, the best backed in the last. And just recapping, the best backed runner on the program. Punters happy to take the shorts. Race 7, number 1, Spanish Mission. It's going to be a great day out at Caulfield today, Gareth.
Good on you, Quinny. Thanks for that. Warren, fascinating to see what Surprise Baby can do this afternoon.
Yeah, one of the more interesting runners of the day here, isn't it, in that Kevin Heffernan and Gareth. And great that the Melbourne Racing Club continue to honour Kevin, a larger-than-life character in life and in racing. He was the Kevin in Kevin Dennis Motors, for those that grew up here, knowing that in Victoria and through the VATC and the MRC, he was just such a significant and a terrific contributor and a great person. So good that he's continued to be honoured, and I think I Am Superman. It's going to be very hard to beat here. We could be on a good three by this stage of the day, which will suit him. He'll lob into a nice spot, and I like him. I can understand why he's been the medium of good support. 7 ahead of 1, Streets of Avalon. This is in his DNA, 1,400 metres on good ground at Caulfield and at Wait for Age. Not many of them have got the record he has at this trip here. 10, Cinewan, back to the jump outs of Sam Friedman outline. Tongue tie going on, could be a significant gear change fitter for that first Australian run. And 5, Crosshaven, showed a return to his something like his best form last start. That ties in with Age of Chivalry, who's had the run in the Cranbourne Cup since. But I'm leaning Crosshaven out of those two. Keen on 7, ahead of 1, 10 and 5.
I think you're keen on 1 as well here, Dino.
Yeah, I like I Am Superman also, Gareth. I'd be having a little saver on Cinewan. I love what he did at the trials last week with the tongue tie on, but I Am Superman, I think he maps for a great run. He's a 1,400-metre winner at Caulfield. He's just a genuine dry tracker, and he comes through the superior form lines. I think that's the key. Cinewan, you know, tongue over the bit, considering that he's a big chance of turning the tables on the likes of Age of Chivalry and Crosshaven and Co. with the benefit of that trial as well, which, as I said, the jump out last Friday I thought was exceptional. Streets of Avalon, you think of 1,400 in Caulfield, you think of Streets of Avalon. So dry track suits. He's running the Manicato was great, and then he was lone soldier down the inside in the Daly Classic. He can certainly improve here, and Ranier's you know, relatively fresh, only second up, ran quite well first up. Again, that form line through the Crosshaven, Age of Chivalry and Co. race. But I'm keen on I Am Superman, but a little saver on Cinewan. 7-10-1-3.
Who wins the last gator?
I'm going to take the four of them in the quaddie and hopefully gets us through and we can win some money. Age of Chivalry on top, liked the fight at Flemington. I thought, okay, he's back. His Cranbourne Cup run was terrific for mine. He was pressured to swoop his race. They all came from the back and he was still there swinging, so he's probably the overs. I'm Superman. He's a really good second-level horse, so it's a sort of perfect race for him on dry tracks, 1,400. Hasn't had much go right this prep, and you can easily tie his form in. If he's been thinking over, it's a good scalp, and Rock. So Rock's the horse that ran with Age of Chivalry in last year's Cantala. They both went really well, so you can tie the form in if you look, you know, deep enough. Rainey got lost in the Age of Chivalry race. He hit the line hard. It was a race dominated near the speed, and he's proven second up. So I think he's the other winning hope with Streets of Avalon. So they're the four for me, 4, 7, 3, 1.
Dan, I like 7, 10, 1, and 3. Gator, 4, 7, 3, and 1. And Warren, 7, 1, 10, and 5 in the last. Dino, your best in a quaddy, please. And is Leanne having a multi this week?
Yes, it's just come through at the last minute, Gareth. My best is I Am Superman in the last. Best values, race 3, number 6, Lavish Girl. The quaddy, first leg, 2, 6, 8, and 12. Second leg, 1 and 2. Third leg, 4, 6, 7, 10, and 11. And the last leg, 1, 3, 7, and 10. And Leanne's multi is at Rose Hill. Race 3, number 4, Rebel Rammer. Into race 5, number 8, Irish Angel. $5.60 the multi.
Oh, I love it. Do you have an opinion on the winner bottom, Dino?
Yeah, the favourite should win, Gareth. He's in the zone, Elite Street. I think it's a perfect draw for him. We saw him last year win with that three wide sort of run. And yeah, I mean, he'll be the hunted today, so they'll be watching him, and he can stay out of trouble there. I think, he's just in great form, that horse.
Good on you, Dano. Enjoy your day.
Terrific. Thanks, Gareth.
Gator, your best in Melbourne, please.
I'm going to stick with Decent Rain. I think she can win again. Race 3, number 1, is our best, quaddy-wise. So race 6, we're taking Cardinal Gem, Festival Dancer, and Port Louis, 6, 12, and 2. Zipping Classic, Spanish Moon, Silent Sovereign Warning, 1, 9, and 2. Third leg, our Playboy, Starrell, Hangman, Royal Mile, and Regano, something or other, 6, 7, 3, 10, and 4. Coming home with Age of Chivalry, I'm Superman, Rainier, Streets of Avalon. Those numbers are 4, 7, 3, and 1.
Catch up with you soon for the Sydney preview, Gator. Thanks for that.
Roger.
Warren Hartley, your best in a quaddy, please.
I'm waiting till the last, Gareth. Race 9, number 7, I Am Superman, is my best. Quaddy first leg, 2, 6, 8, and 12. Second leg, 1 and 2. Third leg, 6, 7, 8, 10, and 11. Home with numbers 1, 5, 7, and 12. Big weekend of racing. Looking forward to Caulfield. They'll have a great day at Woolamai. And if you can, get down to Warrnambool for the Jericho tomorrow. That'll be a fantastic day with crowds back on course, Gareth.
Looking forward to crack weight. Just your quaddy numbers in that final leg, Warren?
1, 5, 7, and 10 in the last leg, Gareth.
Beautiful. Enjoy your day, mate.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Warren Huntley.